In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I have a great conversation with practical futurist Andrew Grill, who you may remember from episodes 38 and 136. This podcast episode is another audio from the YouTube series I've been doing, catching up with previous podcast guests during the pandemic. We recorded this chat in April of 2020, which seems like a lifetime ago now, so keep that in mind when you're listening. And since then, Andrew tells me he has been doing a lot of hybrid keynote presentations where he has people both in the room and also online. In this chat, Andrew and I discuss how the pandemic has not only brought in a whole lot of new rules and social norms, but also has accelerated his futurist predictions. Andrew tells us how the disruption is a huge opportunity for change, but is also exposing the weak points in every ecosystem and increasing the digital divide. We talk about the digital divide, particularly in the education space. Andrew also tells us what hasn't changed for him, and we talk about the pros and cons from working from home. Andrew then shares his predictions on the future of work, including the emergence of the third workspace that is neither home nor the office, and the increase of professional gig workers. We finish our chat with Andrew's three practical tips for coping when working from home and being potentially physically isolated. As always, we hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play. With smart communities, the future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hi, Smart Community friends. We have some exciting news. After 2.5 years and almost 200 episodes, the Smart Community Podcast has reached a major milestone. 100,000 downloads. 100,000. Wow. We are celebrating big time, digitally and socially distanced, of course, and you are invited. We are having an online party featuring smart fun and games, plus a keynote from Jonathan Reichenthal and an awesome panel discussion. It will be on Thursday, 8th of October, 2020 from 4 p.m. Queensland time. Head to mysmart.community/100k. That's 100k. To find out more details and check out what time that will be in your time zone. That's mysmart.community/100k. Can't wait to see you there. Talk soon. Bye. Hi, Andrew. How are you going?
Hi, Zoe. Welcome back from London, England.
Yes. Thank you for joining me. And I was just reading an article. I think it was you. No, someone else posted and it was like, don't ask people how they are when you first jump onto Zoom. So there you go. I've broken the first rule.
Well, I think everyone's in the same boat. I've been saying to people that we're in the world's largest work from home experiment. So the thing is, actually, everyone is experiencing almost the same thing in terms of their environment. How they're handling that and coping with that is probably the right question. Maybe you should lead off with, are you okay?
Yeah. So are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm lucky that I've got a great bunch of friends that I see accidentally when I'm out walking. I've got a group of friends around the world. I'm finding that Messenger and social media and those sort of things are really great to stay in touch with. I'm probably on social media more than I've ever been because that's the medium that we've got to communicate. But I am seeing people in person. Last night was one of my friends, closest friend's 50th birthday, and we accidentally walked past her house with a big banner. After about 15 minutes, the police asked us to move on, which was the right thing to do, but we were socially distanced, but we felt sorry for her that she was having her 50th birthday on her own and in lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, I don't want to say an interesting time because that's so well, you know, overused, but it's very different. The social norms are so different, obviously, and that's, you know, an obvious thing to say, but I've been thinking about a lot more and how it's actually changing our brains, right, and how we think. And you know, even though we will go back to some kind of, not, it won't be normal, it'll be something different, we'll still have these imprints in our brain of this time.
Well, what's really interesting is I think the first week that lockdown happened, and it happened similar times in Australia and also here in the UK, it was all a bit strange because we've now got new rules and we've got to adjust to it. I think 3 or 4 weeks in now, I wouldn't say it's the new normal. It's something we're getting used to. But I walked past a restaurant last night that's only doing takeaway, and I had a craving to go and sit down and have a meal opposite another human being and talk to them. And that's things like that I miss. I think we're adapting. Our humans are fantastic at adapting. The other thing that's interesting, I'm sure you're a millennial, I'm a Gen X. We've never been through polio, we've never been through a world war. And even Australia's involvement in the world war, it wasn't that localized. In Sydney, you didn't have the Blitz, you didn't have bombing as they had in London. I think this time, because literally every country in the world is in it together in some similar way, when I say to you, Zoe, how's the lockdown going? You know exactly what I mean. And you're having similar restrictions. So I think it's a global adaption of human nature and human behavior. Sadly, people have to die to go through this, which is a terrible tragedy. But what I say to all the people that ask me about, you know, as a futurist, what can we expect in the future? What I say is that disruption is a huge opportunity for change. And if we go back to doing things the same way we've always done it, we might talk about that in a minute, we haven't learned from this. If we're going to be subjected to huge economic hardship for 4, 6, 8 weeks and the knock-on effects, we have to learn from this. And what I think is happening is all the things that I have predicted are going to happen in years will now happen in months. Things are accelerated because the weak points of failure in every ecosystem, every supply chain are now being laid bare.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that there's so much we can learn and there's so much opportunity right now, but not making light of this situation at all, but really speeding up that, I guess, future of work or the future in general. And you know, the things we talk about in smart communities are hitting us in the face now, and we can see that we're not prepared for that in a lot of circumstances. And then where people are, or they're privileged to have, you know, the internet access and all those type of things, we're just going to see this real rise of, or just the change in what, you know, who is actually wealthy and who is actually well and who is actually succeeding in this space. It's so different. And in some aspects, and I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this, it's kind of leveled the playing field. In other aspects, it's actually exploded that digital divide. And I've talked about that quite a lot when I'm talking to people, but people that were disadvantaged are even more so now. But on another sense, yeah, it's leveled the playing field for particularly speaking digitally now. And, you know, as long as you can get up to speed with that, and not that it's easy, but it's a process. I wouldn't say it's not easy. I'm trying to find the words. It's something that we need to focus on. It's deliberate and it's consistency and all those type of things. You need to learn a few different skills and that type of thing. But the essence of it, the message, the engagement is exactly the same as it was before. Keen to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think the one area that the digital divide is really showing itself is in education. So it's all very well to say we're going to do remote learning. Here in the UK, some of the charities have had to loan some disadvantaged students laptops and iPads, because when you say jump on your laptop at home, they don't have a laptop at home. They don't have internet. Even in one of the richest countries in the world, your country, my country, there are students that are going without. And so I think we need to understand that. And unfortunately, that digital divide is being made laid bare now. Some of my friends have school-aged children, and I've been asking them about how the, you know, schooling from home has worked. And you can't put all of the tutoring and teaching onto the parents, especially if they have full-time jobs as well. And it's interesting to hear that the learning delivery styles from teachers is different. Some of them dump a whole lot of reading on them. Some of them do face-to-face education like this. I think, again, educators probably have a huge opportunity right now to test different styles. If you're normally doing classroom-based delivery of whether it be secondary, tertiary, or corporate training or education, can you vary your learning styles to mix it up with a mix of face-to-face, on-camera, providing assignments, providing tutorials, those sorts of things? One of my contemporaries in Australia, Lynn Gribble, who's been on the podcast, my podcast, a couple of times, is a world-renowned educator, and she said when they went to remote learning, she was happy as Larry because she'd been doing this for so long, yet some of her colleagues weren't used to it. And so I think, again, now is a huge opportunity to test some of your delivery styles. Certainly in the speaking game, I do a lot of speaking. I'm lucky I've got a couple of streams of revenue. So one of them is protected and one is pretty impacted at the moment. But what we're seeing is clients now coming back saying, we haven't lost the need to train our staff and inspire them. We can't do it from a stage. Are you able to deliver your content remotely? And that lends it to another thing. It isn't just standing up in your bedroom talking into a camera. How can you engage people when they're not in the room? And I think that's, again, and even myself, I'm finding myself having to change my delivery style, how I interact, to ensure that I'm as impactful as I can be when I'm not in the room.
Because the last conversation we have, I remember distinctly, and we were talking about, you know, virtual conferences and you know, virtual keynotes and that type of thing. And as much as that could have been a lucrative business, I think is what you were saying and what we were talking about, it wasn't something that you were interested in at the time. So, and obviously, you know, things have shifted so dramatically. So tell me what has changed and also then what hasn't changed for you.
Well, every face-to-face conference has either been cancelled or postponed. And I probably had 8 or 9 conferences that I was going to speak at that have been moved or cancelled. But now clients are coming back, in fact, repeat clients saying, well, can you do a webinar and are you able to, you know, deliver this remotely? So that is happening more and more. And I'm seeing my speaker community, they're all literally pivoting to digital. And those that didn't have a setup at home or hadn't experienced how to deliver things remotely are scrambling to get the kit together to be able to do that. Speaker agencies also that I do a lot of work with, thankfully 3 or 4 of them, I've already done, you know, videos for them explaining my delivery style remotely. They've stepped up to the plate to say, okay, our face-to-face business is decimated for the next 6-12 months. Let's actually help our speakers. Let's understand what the pain points of our clients are and how can we do that remotely and get them the information that they need. So that's certainly changed. I think just generally how we communicate has also changed. Everything is now on Zoom or other network platforms. My friends, for example, every Friday night we have Zoom drinks, and a lot of it people are discovering the virtual backgrounds like the one I've got, and that's quite interesting to see people that haven't used this remote learning technology before discovering how they can change their environment. It's something as simple as a background. As a technologist, it's fascinating to see people learn and adapt to new technologies almost overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've also been playing with the virtual backgrounds and I use them as my slides now, which has been really great. But yeah, definitely having that set up and, you know, the green screen and all those type of things is really important to rise above, I guess, the noise of, you know, there's so many, it's a saturated market that everyone's doing everything online, you know, before they weren't or whatever, or they've pivoted not even just their delivery, but everything because they think that they have to, you know, jump online immediately. And whether that's right or wrong, it's kind of irrelevant. But yeah, actually then rising above the noise and being the professional keynote that you are on stage in your bedroom or in your home studio that you've created from scratch.
Well, just to give you an example, I'm coming to you on an HD camera that's plugged into Zoom via an HD streamer box. I'm wearing a lapel microphone, so you've got the best quality recording. I'm using a professional light on the top of my camera. Behind me is a pop-up green screen. So to your point, if you can't experience me on stage where everything is great, the lighting is great, the sound is great, I want you to have the best possible experience. So take away all the distractions. Don't have any jangling noise or backgrounds that are, you know, you're trying to work out what books I have on my shelf, those sorts of things. I want you to focus on the content so that you can learn something from my session. So I'm a technologist also, and I like playing with this bit of kit, but I found it quite easy to leverage what I would use in a conference room in terms of my audio and video equipment and plug that straight into Zoom. And I've actually been practicing on a few friends. And so this is one of the more recent times I've used this in anger. So what you're seeing in terms of the way I look and sound, hopefully is as good as I can possibly get it. In fact, it's probably better than some of the TV stations. If you've been watching news bulletins where they cross to someone at home, I've got so used to the up-the-nose shot where someone has a laptop on the desk and it's angled that way, whereas right now I'm looking right down the barrel of the camera, so you're not looking up my nose. Things like that that are just so simple and distracting backgrounds. I think we've all learnt what different news presenters and reporters have on their bookshelf and those sort of things. But these days with technology, you can transform your home environment into something that resembles the in-person product.
Yeah. So no distractions.
And just as we've done that, you're at a disco.
This is me doing karaoke in Korea. But yes, it's been fun. But also, yeah, I agree. I think there's this new etiquette, right? And I think, yeah, they're definitely the face, nose video.
The up the nose shot is got to go, yeah.
And it's like, that is very easy to fix. Like I get, you know, it takes a bit of while. And for me, I actually need to get better lighting and it's nighttime.
Go and buy a box of photocopy paper and use that to raise your laptop to eye level. It's things as simple as that. But I suppose you don't think about it. And when someone tells you, you go, oh, of course, that's so simple to change.
Yeah. And I've just bought, like, I've got an iMac and so the camera's much better than my previous. And so it's been really good. But because of my glasses, I need to get a shadow box as well. So I'm continually improving, and normally I don't record at night time. Normally it's during the day, so it's not as bad because I've got some really nice natural light. But all those things. So tell us what hasn't changed for you.
The content is still relevant, and what hasn't changed is my appetite to learn about everything that's going on. And sometimes I filter out the coronavirus news because, okay, we're in the middle of that. What else can we learn? How are businesses adapting? Why is this company closed down? Why is Virgin Australia on its knees? Why are pay now credit companies also on their knees? I mean, I'm fascinated that we're now stress testing some of these ecosystems and like never before, and you never have a chance to do that. And looking at how companies respond. So I suppose the hunger for information hasn't changed. The hunger for human interaction hasn't changed as well. And I sometimes do that in person across the road, waving at someone, often do that on a video call or those sort of things. But the need for human interaction, I don't think has changed. And I think also what I'm finding really interesting, the first couple of weeks of the lockdown, for friends of mine that weren't used to working from home, and a number of them that literally were given laptops and huge screens to, you know, work from home as they would in the office, they started to develop some mental health issues because they weren't used to being on their own for a whole day and not being able to stand up and go across the partition and ask someone a question. So I've been looking out for those friends very closely, calling in on them, maybe going for a walk, those sort of things, to see that we can actually talk things out and chat about things. So I think what's important at the moment is to, like I said at the beginning, ask, are you okay? And allow someone to go, well no, I'm not actually. And I've had a number of chats with some of my close friends about how they can structure their day so that the brain gets used to a structure and they're not feeling so lonely or isolated. So I think what we're seeing is that humans naturally, most people crave some sort of human interaction, even if we're introverts. But I think the need to reach out, and I actually on a podcast last week with Dan Ziv from TouchNote, he has 50 people and they all are now working from home. And I asked him as a manager, has his perspective of home working changed? He said, yes, it has. Having to homeschool their 7-year-old, having distractions around while trying to run a business made him see firsthand what it's like to work from home and the pros and the cons. So I think what we're seeing is people in management positions that manage teams they would normally be able to see are now understanding from first principles what it's like to be locked down, isolated in the distraction. So what hasn't changed, if back to your question, is there's a need for human interaction. What hasn't changed is that we all suffer from issues that we need help with and we need support from, and more so now than ever, those listening to this recording. Go and ask someone in person, online, are you okay? Just checking in on you.
Mm. Yeah, that's so important. And we've been doing a lot, even with like my family, particularly, you know, my grandma and who can't go out at all. And we've just been having Saturday afternoon Zoom chats. And, you know, the first one, it was like, okay, what's going on here? What's happening? You know, I kind of facilitated the conversation and then got comments from different family feedback. Critical feedback from different family. Oh, we should have an activity. Oh, can you structure it a bit better? You know, but also then if we were all to get together, that's how it would be. We'd be sitting around a table. Yeah. And once we kind of talked about that, they went, oh, okay. And I think that's the difference now. And I found it a lot is when I was online before pre-COVID, I was on there for a purpose. You know, it was structured. There was an agenda, even if, you know, not necessarily a written agenda, but, you know, I was on LinkedIn to be able to put a post out, to do some engagement. I was on here to record a podcast, whatever it was. Whereas now you're on here in an ad hoc, spontaneous basis. You might just have a call with somebody and there's no agenda. So that's actually taken me a while to get used to and even just think about and that awareness of it and that it does change the way that you continue to interact with, this whole digital world.
I think also just as when the internet came about and we explained it to our parents and they got used to it, then they got the mobile phone and how do you access the internet? Now even my parents are being introduced to Zoom. My mother, who has been an amateur actress for years, was doing some work with the psychology department of one of the universities in Adelaide, and they would normally provide actors to act out various role-play situations. So now they're doing it on Zoom, and so Mum said to me, can you set up Zoom on my laptop, which I did. I actually did it remotely using TeamViewer and logged onto their computer and did everything locally. But they've now got Zoom, and they're saying, oh, this is great, and we played with the backgrounds and those sort of things. So I think you've got a whole generation of people that are now learning the skills that we have. You mentioned your grandma's on Zoom. That's fantastic. She wouldn't have known what Zoom was. She would have thought it was something to do with rockets a few weeks ago. But now they're seeing that you can have human contact. And I hope when this ends, and it will end, as the Queen says, we'll be together again one day, we won't stop doing this. We will actually check in every week or so with our friends. We'll still have the drinks parties and those sort of things where we don't meet in person. A lot of my friends are expats and in many ways is American. And so they're having chats with their old university buddies on a Zoom call they would never have done before. Mm. And I think that's so encouraging. And I hope that that continues, because it's all very well to chuck a post on Facebook about something funny, but actually seeing people, seeing everyone on the squares like the Brady Bunch and seeing how they react, I think that's what will be different. And I hope that continues, and Zoom share price will benefit as a result. But I hope also that companies like Zoom don't just make their products for corporates. They understand there is a home need, there is a family need, and maybe there's a family version that has, as you say, activities that you can do and those sort of things that isn't just for the corporate market, to encourage people globally to connect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did a virtual Easter egg hunt, which was very basic. You know, it was a Where's Wally with, I just hid some eggs in there, not very well. And then, you know, because it's my younger cousins and stuff, and then we used the Anitape and we could circle those and whatever else.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
You know, and that was really basic, and I probably should have made a few more because it was over pretty quickly. But those type of there's not even integration, but I was just like, oh, how do I do this? And I just kind of used Miro and did all these, you know, and it's very easy once you know, right? I've got that literacy. Yeah. And I think that's one of the other things, you know, we really need to focus in on improving that digital literacy. So, you know, if I just said to grandma, oh yeah, just download Zoom, you'll be fine, hang up the phone.
No way.
It's never going to work. And I've been thinking about staying on top of my grandma. She was a social butterfly and, you know, will be. And I'm hoping that she can be online in a safe way as well, because her data literacy isn't up there. Yeah. So I'd need to keep helping her with that as well. But I said to her, oh, are you hooked into any like online craft or knitting or something like this? And she's like, oh, I wouldn't even know where to look for that. So that's my next task, to try and find something for her. And in the meantime, I find some of those other things. And I mean, for me, I've got so much going on that it's a little bit manic. But for other people that have a little bit more time or need a bit more reprieve, I guess. But moving on from that, but staying in that same theme, what I'm finding is I'm actually quite fatigued, like digital fatigue is what I have. And before COVID, I kind of felt that a little bit, but it had to be quite, you know, it was on and off and it wasn't the same. Whereas now I'm really kind of finding that digital fatigue. So I've been really focusing on digital hygiene is what I'm calling it. And I've written all the steps, you know, but I have to keep reminding myself that everything is now digital. We need to be doing one thing at a time, because if you're doing too many and all those sort of things.
Yeah.
And then actually having reprieve from the screen as well as much as possible. So, yeah.
Well, thank goodness we're allowed to go for a walk. I mean, I think that is the most relaxing thing you can do. Before COVID, I was walking every day anyway, so it wasn't foreign for me. I'm walking longer distances now, but that is my downtime. That screen is off. I'm looking at what's out there. I'm looking at the rainbows. I'm looking at the teddy bears in the windows. I'm looking at the chalk drawings on the ground. Mm. I'm looking at the advertising that is completely different to 3 weeks ago. I remember years ago when I was at school, someone came in and did a motivational talk, and he said, look up. I think a lot of people look down at the ground, and if you don't look up, you can't see the world. And so I think, yes, you're right, we do need a bit of a digital detox every day, because we're in front of the screen so much. So go out for that walk and look up and love life.
Mm. And we're very fortunate that we can. I was talking to my friend in Spain last night, and they're only allowed to go to the closest shop for, you know, essential services, essential things. Then they have to keep the receipt, which gets checked by the police and on-spot basis and stuff like that. So which I'm finding fascinating to talk to all my friends around the world as well.
Yeah, and that's really tough. I think we'd all struggle here. And we found on the weekends here, especially over Easter, everyone was going to the parks and sunbathing, and the government had to say, sunbathing's not okay.
Yeah.
In fact, question for you, is standing on an electric scooter exercise?
No. I mean...
Correct. So when I see the guy zooming past on his scooter, apparently exercising, that's not exercise.
No, that's just having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Unless it's...
Stay home, save lives.
Yeah.
Check the NHS is what we're being told every single day here.
Mm-hmm. And it is interesting. I'd like to see, you know, the data behind people walking before and after as well. Because when I go...
Oh, I can tell you from my Fitbit, I'm 26% up. No shadow of a doubt, I'm doing more walking because it's my reprieve. Because I live in a studio apartment on my own in London, so I need to go out to stay sane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about, you know, what has changed, what hasn't changed. What do you think will change?
The question I get asked a lot about, and even before COVID, was the future of work. And I was saying probably a year ago that we may find in the future, and I was talking years, that people may say, I don't want to work from home all the time because that's my space. I don't always want to work in the office, but I want to have a hybrid job where maybe I work in the office 3 days a week. Now, that's not necessarily remote working, but where do I work in the meantime? And I think what COVID and the pandemic has shown us is that we can work away from home. But we don't necessarily work away from the office, rather. We don't necessarily want that place because there are three P's in the future work: people, place, and purpose. So the middle P, place, that place at the moment is home. It's our kitchen table, it's our bedroom, it's our dining room, whatever. But I've worked out that I can be efficient. My job was desk-based in the office and now it's desk-based at home. Is there a halfway house? Can I work away from the office but not at home? And so while I think the serviced office, the WeWorks of this world are really going to struggle at the moment, there'll be some consolidation. It may be that this third place that people want to go to is a safe place where they can get work done because they know they can get work done away from the office. And I think a lot of people do that. One of my best friends works in finance and she was given a laptop and a large screen. She said, I'm so much more productive because I don't have people asking me questions all the time. And she's really, really busy at the moment. And she said, I actually prefer this. I've asked to keep my kit so I can actually work from home sometimes when I feel like it. So I think we'll find the emergence of this third space for many people. Like you, Zoe, I'm a bit of a nomad, so I work wherever there's Wi-Fi and coffee. But I think this might become structured. I think what might also happen is people might say, I want to become a professional gig worker. We think of gig workers as takeaway delivery drivers, but I'm a gig worker, you're a gig worker. I spend my 5 days of my working week working for different clients, and it can mean working away from their office and working in different places. So I think what will change is the notion of this third space and people wanting a halfway place to do their work that isn't the office and isn't home, but it still allows them to be productive. And it allows their manager, and as I said before, the example with Dan, managers that have been through this realize that you can get work done away from the office. And in fact, you can be more productive. So let it happen. So what will change? I think office space is going to be massively disrupted. We won't need as much of it. But that doesn't mean that buildings get knocked down. It means that space gets repurposed. It might be a bank used to have a whole floor of a building or several floors. They decide to partition that off and have a co-working space that other people can come into securely. Back in December last year, I was asked by a firm in Canada, they were building a building for a client in 7 years' time. And they said, what should we consider? And I didn't talk about technology. I talked about the ability to reconfigure that space. Mm. And that's exactly what I'm saying now. So what COVID-19 has taught us is this need for a third space. It means that the reliance on structured sit-down office environment may be relaxed. But it means that space doesn't go to waste because it will be repurposed. And I think we'll see some repurposing of existing floor plates into dynamic spaces rather than this company has the whole floor and those sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that there's going to be lots of disruption in that space and lots of disruption to work cultures. And
yes.
I mean, it's happening now, right? And I'm keen to hear, you know, your practical futurist. I've been thinking a lot about employees and employers. I mean, and when I say employee, I mean staff in general. So you and I are included in that as well when we're working for different clients. If your employer does not trust you and vice versa, you don't trust your employer to do best by you, et cetera, et cetera. There's no technology that can help solve that problem in holistic sense. There's that culture that's there and underpinning this whole thing. Now that we've been forced to work from home, how do you think those type of businesses are going to cope during this time?
Well, I think you're right that the notion of trust, if you don't trust me when I'm away from the office that I'm doing work, then there's a breakdown in the relationship there. And I've seen it with again, my friends and colleagues that they know the people that aren't pulling their weight because it's obvious because they're not online or they're not delivering or you're not seeing throughput for what they're doing. And you can see it because everyone's, you know, measuring things electronically now. Back to my chat with Dan, he's a bit more open to this now. And again, he can see where people are working well and not working so well. But I think it'll come down to, you know, we've had this huge experiment. It's actually stress tested, this trust relationship. And so if it was just for a week, you'd just say, well, it's just working differently. But because it's gone on for a month and could go on for another month or two, I think we will start to stress test those relationships. But the other thing that's great is that the managers who are having to or needing this trusted relationship, they're having the same working conditions. They're at home with their families, children maybe, demands on their time. And so they understand when they ask for something to be done and it isn't done that second, they know what the other distractions might be. It might be a child, it might be a spouse, it might be an elderly parent you've got to care for. And so this is a good example back to Dan because I bring him up so much because he gave some great insights. He has a business that prints postcards. So you take a photograph and you send it as a physical postcard to someone. And they've instigated a thing called the red cord process. So if something's wrong, if anyone sees there's something wrong, they can pull the virtual red cord and the production line stops. They'll jump on a call and work out what's going on. And so he's got a number of trusted procedures where he trusts people to work out what's going on. I think what we'll see the rise of, though, is that people are rewarded for their, for having some initiative. And so you may find that because we've had to do things differently, we've had to almost on a dime turn around and change everything, you'll find that humans are quite resourceful and you'll find some brand new processes. I mean, out of adversity comes innovation. I think we'll see a huge amount of innovation. The fact that GSK and Sanofi, two of the largest pharma companies, are now working together on a vaccine for COVID-19 would never have happened. They would never have even picked up the phone to each other to discuss this. So I think what we'll see out of this is an amazing amount of innovation. Humans are incredibly, incredibly smart when push comes to shove. And so I'm looking forward to seeing some of the innovations that will come out of this terrible time for the good of humanity and the good of society and for commerce.
Mm-hmm. Okay, practical futurists, I really would love some practical tips. Working from home maybe, or what slant do you want to go? Coping during this time, or even digital tools that you use that you've found are really useful and impactful at this time. Over to you. Give us three practical tips.
Three practical tips. First of all is set a structure. So when you get up, dress for work. Your commute might be several seconds from the bedroom to the lounge room, but have a structure. Take breaks during the day. Give yourself some time off. Take some holidays. You can't go anywhere. But it might be the next week you say to your boss, can I have Tuesday off? I just want Tuesday off just to relax. Don't allow yourself to get into the rut of having to work 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, those sort of things. Practice some new tools. I mean, for many people, Zoom, like I said before, was about a rocket ship a few weeks ago. What can Zoom do? What can't Zoom do? There have been some interesting things that have come out around security because when you send a meeting invite, if someone else guesses that, they can then Zoom bomb you. And people have said, oh, I've had this horrible experience. Well, I spent a half a day the other week basically going into Zoom and playing with all the different settings to see what it could do and how I could protect my account and the various things that I do. So I'm learning more about the technology, what it can do, what it can't do. And I've practiced it on my friends. So before having a conference call with you, for real, I've done my Friday night drinks using the full setup that I would use. And I've said, what does it sound like? What does it look like? So you can test on your colleagues how you're going to present. I talk about your digital first impressions. Mm. And for many people, my first digital impression will be a video call or a video that they're seeing. And the third thing is look out for each other. Look out for yourself. Call someone. I mean, I've heard from people I haven't heard from for years because they've had a feeling, you know, I just want to know how Andrew is. I want to know that he's okay. We all know that things are tough around the world. So, work aside, digital aside, we're all humans. We all want to have, you know, a relaxing time through all this and make some good of it. So reach out to someone you haven't spoken to in a year, drop them a note, give them a call, send them a message, jump on a Zoom call. How are you? I think that's one thing that we can do to get through all this, because we will get through. It's funny, because I'm a futurist. Everyone said, "Sir Andrew, you're going to predict what's going to happen." No, I'm not. I'm in the same boat. I'm watching this very carefully. I'm testing some of my hypotheses that I thought would happen in 3 to 5 years. They're now going to happen in 3 to 5 months. Mm. And so I'm watching all these things happening in real time very, very closely.
Mm. Yeah, no, thanks so much for sharing that. And yes, my family have become my guinea pigs of, you know, polling and all those type of things.
Oh, wow, yes. Yep.
And yeah, my sister's on Twitch. She's like, "Are you just testing this out because you've got a webinar next week?" And I'm like...
Yes, please, please be my guinea pig.
Yes,
yeah.
I am. And just finally, I think reaching out to people is so important. I told this story on one of the other podcasts, but basically this year, all of my year at school, we turned 30, right? So we turned 30 alone. Luckily, I have a partner, so we'll be able to celebrate. But we haven't spoken for, you know, quite a long time, mutual friends there. But I just read on her Instagram that basically she put a photo up when she was 20, you know, it's the thing to do. And then it was like, "If you know me in real life, please reach out because I need this." And so I did. Oh, wow. And we had a great conversation. And
that's great.
And so I think really do reach out. And someone else I was talking to was like, it's not intrusive anymore. Pre-COVID, yes, it kind of
was. Exactly. People actually are welcoming a random call from someone they haven't heard from, rather than, "What are you calling me for?" Mm. In the future, I hope that people don't mind that random just thinking of you.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap up. Thanks so much for coming on, and we'll share the link with you when it goes out. And yeah, I look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Zoe. Stay safe.
You too. Talk soon. Bye, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are you looking for an engaging speaker, MC, or facilitator for your next big event? Then we've got you covered. Zoe is a go-to speaker, MC, and conversation facilitator with a difference. She's a master at simplifying the complex and making connections you might never see. Book Zoe for your next event. Email hello@mysmart.community or head over to her speaker page, www.mysmart.community/speaking.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community/podcast. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community. You can also find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn and Twitter @smartcomhq. That's com with 2 M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we would love for you to leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears and eyes, so thank you for your support. As always, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.